Give me all right. Hello, everybody. This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman back for our 39th count them. This is the 39th grassroots emergency election protection coalition Zoom call. It's the Jack Benny special. Jack Benny claimed he was always 39 years old, so we'll honor him today. We are at Progressive Radio Network. This is our weekly Green Power. Solartopia, Green Power Election, Green Power and Wellness Show. We'll be on for an hour with everybody at PRN, and then this call will continue for another half hour. If you want to jump over and join us, the link is at electionprotection2024.org, www.electionprotection2024.org. Steve Caruso is the great webmaster of that. Our call is engineered by Mike Hirsch with Progressive Democrats of America. I'm the co-convener with Joel Siegel, Bob Fetrakis, and others. And we have a ton of stuff to deal with today. I have today at Reader Supported News, the lead article is called The Empire Strikes Back, about how the Republicans are in a reaction to the massive election outcomes in 2020 and the special election in 2021. As the great Ray McClendon has pointed out to us from Georgia and all over the country now, courtesy of the Brennan Center and other reporting, we are finding a massive assault on the right to vote. There are more than 100 bills in more than 28 states that are being proposed to turn back the right to vote so that there's never again, as Donald Trump would say, if you use paper ballots and people of color and young people vote, no Republican will ever get elected again. And Democrats have had the same feeling about the primaries, but we are gonna deal with this in great detail. Before we jump in, I do want to welcome, we're joined today by a very powerful and prestigious long-standing journalist and journalist professor, Carl Grossman. Carl, from the great state of Long Island, has been my cohort in the safe energy movement since the previous century, at least. Carl, would you say hi to everybody? We're really honored by your presence. It's just great to have you with us.
Hi to everyone. And this is a very important cause because I think that what Harvey is outlining is the Trump Republican strategy to somehow get back in, to do an end run around democracy and kind of like in a tin pot dictator's state, achieve power.
Well, Carl, it's great to have you with us. Carl's reporting on the nuclear issues has been absolutely essential for the past. I won't tell him how old you are, Carl, but it's been a long time. And you were instrumental in keeping the Shoreham nuclear plant from going online, which is itself a huge accomplishment in your reporting. You and I have just co-authored a piece on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and we're working on that one, on other aspects of nuclear power. So, Carl Grossman, it's an honor to have you with us. I appreciate it. We're also joined by Eileen Proctor somewhere. Eileen is one of the great PR people in our country and has done tremendous work in getting the word out on democracy issues. She has worked with Greg Palast and has really been essential to word out on issues like the ones we're going to deal with. Okay, so we're going to go now with the great Andrea Miller, who has really documented a tremendous amount of the great counterattack. We're going to focus largely on that. There were a couple of people who were going to talk today also about Puerto Rican statehood versus independence. If you are on the call, please get to me in the chat so I can know where you are and if you are with us. Most of us have been talking. There's been a lot of talk about Puerto Rican statehood as if it's something that's an assumed, but in fact, There are many, many people in Puerto Rico who do not want to be a state, who want to be independent. And before we democracy advocates push much harder for Puerto Rican statehood, we need to see the other side of the coin there. And so if those folks are on with us, please notify me in the chat, if you would. So what we're going to do now with Ray McClendon and Andrea Miller, we are going to start going over what's going on state by state in the Republican pushback on basically democracy. And then we will also discuss House Rule 1, which is the omnibus pro-democracy bill, except there are some holes in it, pretty big, as Harry Hawkins pointed out last week, in terms of third parties. And John Brakey is going to give us a major report on a lawsuit in Arizona that's pretty astounding. So, John, if you can stick with us, I'd like to start with Andrea and Ray, and then we'll get to your lawsuit in Arizona, which is really a mind-boggler, and which was just filed today, right? I mean, it's a pretty big deal. So,
it hasn't filed yet, but we're very close to filing, and it's through the Libertarian Party, who I represent inside of Maricopa elections. And what incredible things are happening in Arizona about how a lot of voters from the right and left are starting to realize that we all need to be Americans, just like we say with our group. We're Americans United for Democracy, Integrity, and Transparency. Doesn't mean excluding Republicans. It means all of us need to get together.
You got it. So we'll get the details of your suit after we look at the big picture with Andrea Miller and Ray McClendon. So Andrea, if you want to take over the screen now, it's all yours, please. And just fill us in as best you can.
Hey, Harvey and everybody. It is great to be here. What I'm going to show you now is we've got a couple of actions that are going on in Georgia. Now, 400 bills have been introduced about voting. Most of the bills, 300 or more, actually expand voting access. But there are about 106, might be 110 now, that seek to really limit voting. And probably one of the states that has the most significant bills trying to limit voting is, of course, the great state of Georgia. So we've got an advocacy alert up, and the Atlanta NAACP, they have one too. So I just want you to be able to see the bills. Now, these are all the bills in the Senate, and these are the worst of the worst. So SB 29 requires that a voter who wants to vote by mail send in their photo ID when they apply for their absentee ballot, and then they send it again when they are turning in their ballot. SB 68 is particularly troubling because it bans the use of drop boxes and very tightly limits who has the ability to handle your ballot. This is straight out of North Carolina, saying your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your grandfather, or other people who live in your household. So whenever we think about voting, we always think of that older rural voter who lives alone and no longer drives. So this means that they now need to go in person if they don't have a close personal relative living in their household, and go to an approved place, and they really haven't approved that many places, to drop off their ballot, or they can put it in the mail. SB 69 basically ends automatic voter registration. So if you're at the DMV and you change your address, unless you specifically say, update my voter registration, or if I'm newly moved into Georgia, please add me and make me a Georgia voter, then it's not going to happen. 70 is fascinating. 70 says, if you are a new Georgia voter, you can't vote in a runoff election. So in other words, if I lived in Florida and I voted in the elections in Florida on November 3rd, on November 5th for my job or whatever, I moved to Georgia and I sign up my voter registration and I am a registered voter in Georgia by the time that runoff comes around. According to this, I would not be able to vote in the runoff. So it's very, very, very tightly controlling the circumstances where you can vote. SB 71 just out and out ends no excuse absentee ballot, balloting, which has been in place in Georgia since 2005. So it's not like this is something new. This has been around for nearly 20 years. And it also says all states that have an excuse for absentee voting always have, if you are of this age, then okay, great. All you need to do is send in your application. Georgia has set the age at 75, which is 10 years over Mississippi. And then finally, they are banning nonprofits from mailing absentee ballot applications to voters in Georgia.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, I always say, got to give the little darlings credit. They are very, very clever and they are very, very busy. Now, what's really interesting is one senator, Senator Mullis, is responsible for 7 of these bills.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia's going to need a lot of help. Now, on February 2nd, Democracy Died in Mississippi. In Mississippi, Mississippi does not have no excuse absentee voting. As a matter of fact, they pretty much have absentee voting for the military. If you go to the office and ask, they might let you do it. There's going to be an extreme time limit that they put you under. They have no early voting in Mississippi. So on February 2nd, every voter expansion bill that Mississippi introduced was pronounced dead in committee. They also lost their attempt to get $8.65 an hour and then $10 an hour. All those bills were voted down. So one of the things that we're going to be working on this year or this election cycle is we invested in a tool that allows us to look into all 50 state legislatures and Congress. And then we have the ability to track good and bad bills. So when we come across a bill that we want to track or any bill that we want to look at, all right, it's hopefully going to run fast enough. It gives us the ability to see the summary. Here's the bill. Mullis, we know this is bad news already. And then we can see actions that they have taken, and we can also see what committee it's in. And then if we really want to go after people using our new tool, we have the ability to create an email advocacy alert where people can write to all the bad sponsors of a bad bill or all the good sponsors of a good bill and tell them thank you. So this is what we're looking at. We're also tracking when legislatures go into session and when they go out. Georgia, Mississippi, and Virginia are the first to go in and go out. So this allows us to kind of space and plan where we're going to do our advocacy and then really be able to focus on states that have more time to introduce and potentially pass or stop legislation. So I'm going to basically end right there. And is that me or, oops, I've got one more thing I need to share with you. Let's go here. Because we want to give an action that everybody can do. Tonight at 7:30 Eastern, we are going to be doing phone bank training. And this is a very special kind of phone bank. We're calling Georgia voters and we're telling Georgia voters what their senators are trying to do to them or take away from them. So you call the voter and then you tell the voter what they're about to lose. And generally, most of the voters we're calling voted absentee. And then we ask them, would they like an opportunity to speak with their senator and tell them that they don't like this bill? And if they say yes, we automatically connect the voter with the senator's office. So we're going to be doing training on that tonight. We are also running a texting program. We've got 500,000 Georgia voters to text, letting them know what their state legislature is doing. So this is kind of a different tack on advocacy. So we're going to email the people in Georgia, let them email their legislators, tweet them, or call them. And then other voters where we don't have email addresses, we're texting them and or calling them saying, hey, if you'd like to do something about this, then all you're going to need to do is click this link or let us transfer you to your state senator where you can give them a piece of your mind about
Andrea, Laura Chamberlain has asked where to go, where to go to the link for this. Can you put it in the chat?
All right, I'm going to stick this link right now in the chat. You can go here and you'll be able to sign up.
Okay, Sally Castleman and Ruth Strauss. We're going to go to Ray McClendon, who's in Atlanta, also working on this. Sally Castleman and Ruth Strauss, real quick.
My comment's completely different. You asked before we started all this if anybody had any other issues, so I can talk at the end.
Okay, Ruth Strauss, Strauss is a Southerner. Do you have anything to ask her?
I just wanted to know how we could sign up tonight, but she put it in the chat, so that's fine. Thanks.
Great. Okay, Ray McClendon, you're in Atlanta. You've been working with Andrea on this. You want to jump in and give us a hand here?
Sure, absolutely. It's a pleasure, as always, to be with everyone. And thanks for all of the support, both financially, but also the support of your ideas and capacity to bring attention to these issues. And I just have to say, first and foremost, what Andrea and her various organizations have brought to the grassroots efforts in Georgia have really allowed us to expand exponentially our capacity and resources to bring to bear, first starting with the elections and now with our year-round engagement on these types of voter suppression issues. What she has put forward so far, we are now working on in collaboration with the Center for Common Ground, Reclaim Our Vote, and all of the other various tentacles that she has to make a difference. We have already emailed out several thousand of our constituents for them to contact their elected senators. We We are also by their particular district. As I said, we'll be meeting tonight with some other collaboration partners, most notably the Divine Nine, which are the Black fraternities and sororities tonight, to share the platform with them so that they can begin to get their list out. And also with the 19 NAACP counties that we put the strategy together for the general election and the runoff. So this is a great set of tools that we now have available in the grassroots community that really does ramp us up. And it's just a joy to work with people who are dedicated to just getting the work done and making their expertise available so that we can really focus on bringing the relationships together to the table that were so successful in the general election and the runoff. Now, let me say the focus right now is in the Senate, but there will also be some activity in the House. We're focused on the Senate right now because that's where the bills are that have been highlighted. There's a special election integrity committee in the House that will be meeting, and they'll start. The way that the state legislature works in Georgia is, you know, you can bubble up bills in either chamber, and then there's a crossover day. That crossover date means that by a date certain, legislation has to have passed by that one chamber to then a legislation to cross over to the other. So there's going to be some shakeout that's going to be occurring. Since we know what the bills are in the Senate, that's where we're focused right now. Andrea and our team have already worked on using these same tools with letters to the Speaker of the House, targeted for House members, state representatives, House representatives, so that as soon as we know what bills are going to be dropped on that side or what bills from the Senate cross over, then we're going to be attacking those folks as well and encouraging those to areas of support. And also dealing with the Speaker of the House, Speaker Ralston has already put out statements indicating that he does not want to see no excuse absentee balloting eliminated. So, he's a big Republican. So that's a good thing for us to have, and we're going to play that in a separate way. So we already have those tools ready to be put in play as soon as the House is indeed in play. But again, the beautiful thing here is Andrea has made those tools available. We've got them teed up. They're already being used on the Senate side. And as soon as we know how we need to engage on the House side, we will be ready for it. So this is a great day for all of us coming together and certainly having the phone banks and getting the word out. All of these letters converge on the same set of ideas and concepts as to why this is a bad idea. And this is just putting everybody on notice, looking forward to 2022, that these folks, when they're up for re-election, we are watching them, and they know that we are not asleep here in terms of what will happen if they vote in favor of making major changes to our absentee ballot laws.
That's fantastic. Now, we have to understand, of course, that this is going on nationwide. And this laundry list of bills has staggering poison pills coming at us in Georgia are coming at us all over the country. And we're just not as well organized in other states. So thankfully, I know that Pennsylvania is really getting hit with these kinds of laws. And there are 28 states, according to the Brennan Center, over 100 bills. And many of these states have severely gerrymandered Republican legislatures, where they may not have the kinds of resistance that we've been able, because of Andrea and Ray and so many others, to mount in Georgia. So the piece I wrote about it, which is out today, Steve Caruso posted the link in the chat at Reader Supported News. You might want to take a look at it and like it so it goes around the internet a little faster. But there was actually a piece on NPR about this. This is the number one thing that's happening in the country right now. A lot of people are focused on HR1 in the Congress, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, but the real action is at the states. And this laundry list that Georgia has come up with is probably came from ALEC, at least parts of it. It probably came from the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is funded by the Koch brothers, which has been the leading democratic organization in the country, and which puts out bills like this, and from Karl Rove's shop, Crossroads, whatever he's calling it. But there is a very consistent attack on democracy. You know, the Republicans under Nixon sort of took the burning cross from the Jim Crow Democrats and extended it now through the post-Trump era. So take a look at my piece at RSN. And, you know, we have right now 85 people on this call, probably representing, I don't know, 20, 25 states. And we have to be on top of this in every state. And part of the reason for this network is to inform each other what's going on in the states. So if you have assaults on your, vote by mail, paper ballots, if, for example, in New York, they just tried to put in a terrible voting machine, which Lou and Howie and Julie, who've been on this call, have successfully at least temporarily stopped. So these are things we have to network with. We know this is going on all over the country. We know the Brennan Center has been on top of it, but we need to use this network to make sure that every state has opposition to these kinds of bills that Andrea and Ray are fighting in Georgia. Ray, Andrea, do you have other states in your network that you know?
I have all 50. I'm looking at Pennsylvania now. So yeah, I have all 50 states. I can just pull up a state, type voting, and then it pulls every piece of legislation. Everybody should get an app called TrackBill. It is available on an iPhone or on an Android platform. That is what we are using for bill search. So literally all you have to do is either go to trackbill.com on your computer or on your phone, pick a state and say, show me all the bills in this state about voting, about solar. Pick any topic that you want, and it will list those bills. And if you find one that you want to support, or you find one or several that you hate, and we think we should put grassroots energy in fighting them, let me know. We've got a young team of policy writers, and they will help you write it up. They'll get it built. They'll get a link for you, and then you can send it out. And then we'll send it out.
That's fantastic.
Let me also say again with that, what that does is it frees up grassroots organizers like us to really do the work, as opposed to trying to figure out how to build this stuff from scratch without the expertise, without the time. So we don't have to take energy away from being out in the street working with people, and now have world-class foundational tools available to us. That's number one. Number two is that now we have ways to keep people engaged. We've gotten so many calls since January 5th saying, okay, what's next? What do we do? How do we stay connected to this energy of civic engagement? And this gives us a way now to do that beyond what we had ever been able to do before with email lists and a few volunteers that come in, you know, 1 or 2 hours a week. And to know you know, it's almost like we got our own Google machine now, because we got a team of folks that are top flight that Andrea has that she's made available to us. They're all bright, enthusiastic, and it's just made a tremendous difference for us to be able to get out and connect people in. So what we started in the fall, in the general election and with the runoffs, now we can take to a whole nother level because of the portfolio of tools that that Andrea has created. And I endorse them and recommend them to every state for us to take this movement to a whole different level.
Well, in the bigger picture, I think we all understand that in the next 2 years, we have a window where every aspect of the voting process, things that people don't think about, you know, like the machines and the risk limiting audits and all the nitty gritty details where the devil resides about our electoral process are going to be completely challenged in every state. Right? Even states like Massachusetts, where Anna Georgi has joined us from, which we think of as permanently blue, that's the birthplace of gerrymandering. I'm sure that Massachusetts is thoroughly gerrymandered. But every piece of the electoral process is going to be under attack for the next 2 years, because there's, the second most important election in American history will be 2022. And I have read in The Atlantic and elsewhere that the fight over gerrymandering now, because of it, you know, it's every 10 years and they haven't even finished the census, but the fight over these districts and state by state is going to be ferocious as well for the next 2 years. So this has all got to be looked at. And Andrea, thank you so much. You put your contact in there. Myla, did you have a hand? Myla Reason?
Well, Laura had her hand first, and then Myla, please.
Okay, Laura, then Myla.
Andrea, hi. Oh, wow, fantastic. So I wanted to know if you could give us a little tutorial about this tool. Yeah, you've been writing in the chat that it costs you $30,000 to have this tool? Holy shit. So a little tutorial might be.
Laura, we're on the radio. You got to watch the.
Oh, I'm sorry. Holy snows coming down. Okay, so a little tutorial would be fantastic, eh? Just think about it in the future. Thanks.
We can very easily do a tutorial because you can use TrackBill for free. You just won't be able to save the bills. You'll need to let us know so that we can save them in our tracker. But you can scan every piece of legislation introduced in all 50 states and Congress.
Wow, amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So actually, you know what we'll do next week? How long is a tutorial on that, Andrea?
The tutorial is about 15 minutes. It's really simplistic.
How long does it take for people over 70? You probably
minutes. Yeah. That was for people over 70. It's like 5 minutes for people under the age of 30. They see it and they're like, oh, wow. And then they're gone. You know, I didn't even get to say hello. And they're like, oh, wow. It's like, okay, fine, you guys.
All right, we'll tack on a tutorial next week on this at the end of the call. So people who, like me, who start throwing things in the middle will not have to suffer through. And Myla, thank you, Laura. Myla?
Yeah, just real quickly, I just posted it again because it sort of disappeared in case people didn't see it. But there's a link to your RSS article that came out today, that you published today. I just put it in the chat. And I want to remind people, as always, save the chat. Don't forget. But so it's there twice. I just put it up again. So.
Okay, good. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay, before we jump in, well, let's go jump in now to Arizona. John Brakey, you know, everything we're talking about is happening there. But by the way, Ray, I mean, I'm astounded to hear that a major Republican in Georgia is not supporting the destruction of paper ballots. I mean, did they not get the message? What's the story, Ray? I mean,
I mean, that's good news. You got to remember, as Andrea mentioned, this no excuse absentee balloting has been around since 2005. And it was really used primarily by Republicans up until 2018. So it was just when, Black and brown people and Democrats figured it out and started using it. Oh, by the way, in the middle of a pandemic, did it become a problem? So a lot of people are just responding to Rudy Giuliani and Lynn Wood and all of those folks and trying to coddle that base. But there's still some people out there that are saying, wait a minute, this is going to hurt some of us in the long term. Now, he could have a change of heart, but again, we're prepared for that. Andrea, along his team, along with ours, have a specific letter we're sending to the Speaker of the House and a specific letter that we're sending to Republican representatives saying, oh, by the way, did you know that your speaker supports keeping no excuse absentee balloting? And that we know he supports it. So we're gonna play all of those angles once the focus gets to the House.
Okay, and there are incredible subtleties. As this group knows probably better than anybody in the country. For example, if you have Georgia is wanting to require that when you mail in a ballot, you put in photo ID. Well, small detail. If they put in photo ID, they know if you're black. And, into the trash, I mean, it's something that a lot of people of course you have to have photo ID, but hey, it's Jim Crow here. So
even a smaller detail, Harvey, is that, a lot of people don't have HP printers at home.
Yeah, right.
To make a photo ID, and they don't have access to Staples in their community.
Right.
To go out and get not one copy, but two. You got to have two copies of your ID done to do the verification match.
And again, remember, Georgia has 159 counties, and about 140 of them are rural. And in a rural county, there isn't a FedEx or a Kinko's right down the road.
Right. And the one I love the best is that pretty much uniformly, starting in Texas, they're banning the use of student IDs, but gun licenses are okay. I love that.
And Harvey, I bet they're okay until black folks start buying guns.
Yes, right. Right. Huey Newton is not going to be mailing in his gun license. All right. Well, does anyone else have a pop-up before we go to John Brakey? Okay. Ray Lutz, real quick. Ray, and then John Brakey.
I just wanted to point out that we really need to have a counterpoint to the ALEC structure that they have, where they're really influencing the state legislatures, and also, we need something like, instead of ALEC, maybe it's ALEN, A-L-E-N for America Legislative Exchange Network. I'm just...
Yeah,
no, counterpoint to that, where we would propose legislation like they do for the legislatures to take on. And also, we need to be aware that the state legislatures is another place that we need to start playing hardball and get these turned over, because they're almost all held by one party or the other.
Well, they're gerrymandered. That's the problem. And then, it dates back to the 1790s. Been with us, and we've had no answer. So you're 100% right about that. And do we have our own laundry list of things we want, Ray? Andrea? You do?
Absolutely. We're working on those. We're working on those now. And again, we're going to be in a much better position to analyze and communicate that to the critical grassroots communities that we serve by virtue of the tools that Andrea has accumulated here. Also want to do a shout out. I know that Joel is going to talk a little bit about this later with the Save Our Democracy summit that we're doing, which is going to deal with some of what Ray was just talking about, is to begin to get us to coalesce around a number of critical issues that we need to start attacking on a year-round basis. Several people on this call are going to be speaking as a part of that conference, such as Andrea and some others, as we try to come up with a counterbalance to Alec and other critical extremist organizations that are really, we're close to losing our democracy. So, and we're going to attack those threats and look to have a much stronger, not only grassroots effort, but also have the financial weight to go along with it. So you'll hear more about that over the rest of this week and next week.
Well, we'll hear more about it on this call as well. I think one thing we have to remember is that we're not only saving democracy, we're uplifting it. You know, the idea that Georgia has sent a black man and a Jewish guy to the U.S. Senate is staggering and completely unprecedented in American history, as is what happened getting rid of Trump, really. Myla, you have a hand, and then we'll go to John Brakey.
You know, I just wanted to mention that in other Zoom meetings that I've been in lately, when I suggest paper ballots, I've been getting pushback and people have been saying, but what about the trees? So I think that maybe we need to specify sustainably sourced paper or hemp paper, or, you know, try to figure out how we can just get around that argument or before it even comes up.
I think it's a great idea. I'm all for that. I think hemp paper is the way to go. I mean, Washington and Jefferson both raised hemp, which was used for paper. Franklin, the first major printer in America, did a lot of printing on hemp paper. Of course, he smoked it afterwards, but that's another story. So at any rate, absolutely good point. Thank you for raising that. Anybody else want to raise an issue? And then we'll go to what's the war in Arizona. Okay, John Brakey, tell us what is happening in the here and now in Arizona. You're about to go into court and you're working with Republicans.
I'm working with.
Hold on.
I'm working with everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm working with everybody because our title is Americans United for Democracy, Integrity, and Transparency. We have entered the battleground in Maricopa and Arizona. Ballot images are a very big subject. What's going on with the Arizona Senate, what's happening with the Board of Elections, which is the Maricopa Board of Supervisors, which is the election board, is really bizarre. And the Senate has asked for the records, which they have Senate subpoena power, and the Board of Supervisors is not giving up. The Board of Supervisors is choosing to do a dog and pony show. Every time they do an audit test, which is a logic inaccuracy, they say, this proves that the election is real. It doesn't. It's like Volkswagen. It only tells you that it's working right at this moment. I know that this stuff probably is going to add up perfect, but I don't know what the problem is. Sometimes it could be the ghost of 2004, where they had a recount where one guy won by 4 votes, and after counting 20,000 votes, the other guy won by 14. The problem with that 20,000 votes, they found 489 new votes to get there. Okay.
All right, so what is the substance of the legal action you're about to take?
The legal action is to be able to say that we are a party-centric state and the parties should be involved in this, and replacing us with a fine group which is called the League of Women Voters, is not the answer. They're bringing them in saying, hey, they're part of all groups, so they can watch the logic and accuracy, and they can act like cheerleaders. They're blocking people like me who work for the Libertarian Party to be in there to get a really close look when they open these machines. But the real thing is, it's not opening the machines. You know, in Arizona, voting is a secret process. That is guaranteed. But counting is a public process. We are trying to get these images released to go to Ray Lutz. Also give them the option of clear ballot. There are a lot of people very upset in this state because, you know, it was a close election. You know, Georgia got a recount with a, because they have a 0.5%, I guess, or close to that. In Arizona, the only way you get a recount is 0.1%, okay? And it was above that. And so basically, they want to know if elections are real. These Republicans are like we were in 2004, and they don't know what to believe. All I know is that I'm bringing to the table as the expert that I am, and Susan Pinshaw, who's on the call, and ask her to unmute to go, because she, of course, is my partner in this, okay, working with the Libertarian Party. Susan, are you there?
I'm not sure she is, but what we like, John, is with you. When you get When you get an actual, Susan's with us. When you get an actual lawsuit, if you will make sure to file it with us so that we can put it up and discuss the nitty gritty, that would be great.
We certainly are. Go ahead, Susan.
Harvey, if I could just say quickly that it is bizarre what the Board of Supervisors is doing in Maricopa County. Not only are they not responding to the Senate subpoena for certain records, they actually tried to get a court order today to prevent the Arizona Senate from voting whether to hold them in contempt, which is pretty, and the Arizona senators are, I think, rightfully pretty upset. The other thing they did was they announced this forensic audit, post-election audit. They said the political party representatives, as an important stakeholder in Maricopa County, would be invited. Now they've banned any representatives of the political parties. So the first little lawsuit of the Libertarian, it's important, but it's a basic point, which is the Libertarian Party is suing for access to the audit. And throughout Arizona law, the political party representatives are allowed and entitled, and some cases required, to observe all the different election processes. So it's quite bizarre that they're being denied.
All right, so please forward us all the reporting on this. Maricopa County, everybody should know, is I think the second, third, or fourth largest county in the country. It's got Phoenix.
It's the second.
Yeah, behind, it's somewhere between Cook,
that's right,
Paris, and LA.
That's right, in the United States.
So,
Over 2 million voters voted in the presidential election. Over 2 million in Maricopa County.
We just heard a dog.
On Dominion.
Whoever's got that dog, you got to mute. But thank you for both for that. And we'll keep our eyes on Arizona. It sounds like a real free for all, and you'll both be with us.
The only thing in closing that, Harvey, I would say is this, is that we do need to get with the other side. They breathe the same air. They have kids too. Not all of them we can paint one way, as they can't paint us one way. And the more that we unite to work together, the better we are as Americans. We need to be Americans united to protect this democracy and make this black box into a transparent box that we can trust. Cynicism, again, is what's destroying us.
Okay. Well, listen, keep us in touch with that. That would be great. Lynn Feinerman, you had a question of a hand?
Yeah, I just had a comment, actually. I asked Andrea in a recent interview of Women Rising Radio about the League of Women Voters. John mentioned it, that they were working with the League. And Andrea joked that they're most of them older than both she and I. And so what I'd like to say is that maybe Andrea, you could use your app to help John and the rest of us rejuvenate the League of Women Voters, because it's a wonderful organization.
It is.
And very nonpartisan and very educated and intelligent.
My mother was with the league, and that's why I turned out the way I did. So
I'm a member of the league too. Okay.
Oh, great.
And okay, I support. Absolutely. They're a fabulous organization, but they're being brought in because they haven't got specialists like me who sit there and be able to challenge with civility the state, the bizarre statements that they do at a dog and pony show.
Okay. Well, keep us posted on that in Arizona.
We'll do.
Arizona certainly was a decisive a player in this last election. Art Levine, you have a hand?
Yeah, just in general, in a lot of these discussions across the areas from Andrea's wonderful presentation through now, you all need to be aware of, and of course you are, but what are the leading national organizations that you have contacts with that you can network with, including National Common Cause, National ACLU, Lawyers Committee on Civil Rights, and National NAACP that have the media clout. I posted an article in Time Magazine that was an overview of the different organizations that work to try to kind of protect the election results that were national, you know, in addition to some. What I'm just saying is that in talking about a counter ALEC, that there are existing organizations that the people here have a lot of great ideas and specifics, but these national groups with massive, you know, good millions of dollars, PR, well-known lobbyists, regularly get on cable news and so on, ought to be networked in by you guys with them to prod them to address some of these issues and also know the lay of the land. So you're not reinventing the wheel among more, you know, lesser known atomized.
We're not reinventing the wheel. They are not interested. They have made it clear. They are focused on federal legislation.
Okay.
D.C.
So, yes.
They've made it clear.
I want to get.
Right on. Right on, Andrea. Right on.
Let me reiterate. Okay, we had been waiting on some of these national organizations to do what needed to get done in Georgia, we would have lost.
Yeah, Art, I really appreciate your idealism and your expectation that a lot of these huge organizations would pitch in. The problem is they don't agree with us and they don't agree with you to do that. So we're kind of, you know, pushing that boulder up the hill that rolls back down on us.
So just one follow-up point. I'll reach out separately because I'd like to try to help get you guys platforms on some national media outlets that I have contacts with, okay?
That'd be great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So I'll post my email.
Okay.
Thanks, Art. The other things also is the national organizations are funded to work at the national level. They are not funded to work at the state level. They don't have the tools.
Okay, but you do.
Common Cause has affiliates.
And if we can tie them in, it's a great point on both sides.
Common Cause and Indivisible have local chapters.
So do Sunrise and Greenpeace, and also the Brennan Center is national, but I do have a contact there, so hopefully that will pan out as well.
Right, and I'm working with Daily Host to see if. They will work directly with us. Now, again, this is purely going to be on the progressive side to move out the advocacy things that we put together for the individual states, because they have always wanted to do state work. They could just never find any of the national partners willing to do it. I'm a national partner, and I'm willing to do the state work. So that is now our new niche for 2021.
Yeah, so these calls have been a good mix of state and national focus. And that's been a real plus. And I think that's one of the reasons we've been able to add so much to the mix here. I do want to call unexpectedly on Harvey Branscom, who's joined us, who has a lot of expertise both locally and nationally. Harvey, you're in Georgia, I believe, and I want to just share with you the fact that both the great piano player Van Cliburn and the music producer Phil Spector were also named Harvey, but they never admitted it. Okay, so Harvey, do you have anything you want to tell us about Georgia and about your work? I've asked you to come on.
Sorry. Yeah, am I on? Actually, yes, I'm holding a cell phone in front of me, so.
That's good. You're fine.
You can see me. So, yeah, I'm not in Georgia. I'm in La Jolla, California. I normally live in Colorado. I'm an expert on Colorado. I do almost all my audit work in Colorado. I was in Georgia for the RLA hand tally, along with the Coalition for Good Governance. I was down there for a week monitoring what was going on.
Okay.
And I've written a list of proposed improvements to HR1 in the RLA grant section, the intention of which is to actually create not just the tabulation audit, but also a registration audit and also registration list audit and chain of custody audit, otherwise known as compliance audit, and also a eligibility audit, which would allow for confirmation of decisions about eligibility, such as were the voters actually eligible to vote the contest they voted in, or were they prevented from voting in contests they were eligible to vote in? So, and that the list is on I sent it to a different list, I guess, not this list, but if you want to forward that list onto your list, go ahead, please do.
Well, we post everything at Election Protection 2024. And Steve Caruso, who's on the chat and co-engineering here, will take whatever you send and put it up on the website. And anybody who has documents, anything else like that you want posted, send them to Steve Caruso, and we get them up. And then they're also published a lot of the time at freepress.org. So okay. Harvey, whatever you've got, send it on. Same with Andrew, of course, and Ray. And Ray Lutz and John Brakey in Arizona. So whatever you want to go around, send it to Steve Caruso, and up it goes, and it also gets published. Okay.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Before we jump into HR1, which I know is going to be a giant swamp, and I want Harry Hawkins to tell us a bit about the third party problem there. But Joel Siegel, can you give us a few words on the February 25th, National Convent, and also Thomas, can you guys tell us about what's going to happen?
Sure. I'll just go about an hour and a half. Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, 2 hours, actually.
All right. So on February the 25th from 2 to 3:30, there will be our first symposium launch of the Save Our Democracy campaign, which is being spearheaded by this group, led by the one and only Ray McClendon. And a full co-partner is Andrew Miller. And what we're going to do is do something really different. We're going to be unified. So it's going to be an election protection, unprecedented coalition. We're going to launch it, and there will be probably about maybe 7 to 8 speakers. And we're going to focus on one. We're going to announce that we have put together an unprecedented coalition for election protection and getting out the vote. We plan on doing these symposiums on a regular basis because we feel like most people do not understand how does gerrymandering, we call it Jim Crow gerrymandering, how does that relate to the policies in this country? It's real simple. If states gerrymandering congressional districts, then you're going to have every 2 years, you're going to have these different changes, right? Democrat, Republican. But we can't focus on that because we're nonpartisan. But gerrymandering is really just based on race. We want to talk about the Georgia miracle and teach people in other swing states and other states, how did Georgia get 92%, of Black registered voters to vote? And the same would be true of seniors or students. We want to go over what is the ultimate form of voter suppression? It's the Electoral College, because who you vote for in this country does not get elected. So that leaves room for another dictator like Trump, right? So there's so much vigor about this, idea of reforming the Electoral College. And then, what's the federal legislation that we all got to get behind? Because one thing about working in Congress is sometimes we'll assume, well, HR 1 or whatever bills are in Congress, of course, you know, they're going to be pushed through. And no, that's not how it works. We want to educate people about the bills, how to address a lot of these problems, and then what are we going to do about it? So that's pretty much it.
This is a national Zoom seminar or summit on voter rights. And it's at what time? And it's on February 22nd, 5th?
No, it's February 25th from 2 to 3:30. And it's being hosted by the George Mason Jimmy Carter Center for Conflict Resolution, Rabbi Mark Gopin, who usually is on our calls. And if we don't take the step of creating a unified coalition of both election protection, voter suppression, getting out the vote, it's going to be very difficult to challenge. For example, what Ray talked about, you know, in terms of making vote by mail really hard, this is going on in general assemblies across the country. We don't have the requisite political or strategic unity or coordination to fight back. That changes on the 25th. That's where we're going to start that unified coalition. And we want to raise enough money, too, for a blue-green fund. We'll talk about that some other time, to provide funding for groups like Andrea or the NAACP, so there could be full funding for Get Out the Vote campaigns, and especially in the Black community. We normally, they don't have any. Yeah, thanks.
You put in the chat, Joel, how people can get a hold of you and how they can plug in to help organize this this great event on the 25th.